Today's daf is Erev and Daf Nun Hey, and we are 9 lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Dalet Amid Beis Rapreda. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza, Avadya Ben Miriam Leah, Dvora Bas Rezel, and Sara Esther Bas Malka Leah. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Avram Ben Yibadol L'Chaim Toivim Reb Moshe Chaim. So Erevin Daf Nun Dalet was very much a classic daf as far as Divrei Agoda goes. And really, we left perhaps the most classic of all the Gemaras for the beginning of Daf Nun Hey, and that's where we begin. 9 lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Dalet Amid Beis. Rav Preda, Havale Hahu Talmida, Davetoni Le, Arba Zimni Vigomar. Rav Preda had a Talmud that he had to teach his learning 400 times too, in order for him to be able to understand. Yom Echad, Boyu L'Milsa the Mitzvah. One day, Rav Preda told his Talmud that today I'm going to have to leave a little bit early because I'm involved in a certain mitzvah that I have to do, Tanale. And Rav Preda sat down to teach his Talmud L'Gomer, and the Talmud wasn't chapping it. So he told him, Idna Maishna, why is today different than any other day? Usually, 400 times you chap it. How come today you're still not getting it? He told me that he shaita the Amalei Lamar Ika Milsa the Mitzvah. As soon as you told me that today was a little bit different, I was having a difficult time focusing. And I keep on thinking that now you're going to abruptly end our class, you're going to get up, you're going to leave, and as a result, I can't focus. Amalei, so I prayed to told the Talmud, have daitech v'asnilech. Try to focus. We're going to do this again. We're going to start from the beginning. He taught him the learning another 400 times, and then finally the Talmud got it. Something Gemara Nafka Baskol, a Baskol came out, and told Rav Preda, what you did was so remarkable, you're going to be rewarded in a very, very dramatic way. And in fact, two choices. If you'd like, we're willing to add 400 years to the amount of time that you're supposed to live. Or perhaps, the tiski at vidarach la'al madasi. Or if you want, you and your generation will be zaycha to a chelek in olam haba. Which one do you want? Do you want to live another 400 years? Or would you prefer that you and your generation be guaranteed a chelek in olam haba? Omar, he said, the niskwa no vidarach la'al madasi. Very easy question. There's no... What I want myself and my generation to be Zaychan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that being the Rav Preda picked the right choice, Tenu Lo Zu V'Zu, give him both. And Rav Preda and his Dar were guaranteed a Chelek in Olam Haba. Additionally, Rav Preda had tremendous Arichas Yamin, and Rav Preda ended up living another 400 years. So two things. Number one, Tosfos immediately Shtelsu a Gemara Masechtas Megillah Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis, where the Gemara says, Shalu Es Talmidav, that's Rav Preda. Rav Preda's Talmidim asked him, "Bameh harachta yamim? What did you do to be zeicha to have a richos yamim?" Amalem, and he told him, "May oilam like kudmani yadim le beis hamedrash." He said that I had a minig. I was always the first person in beis medrash. Every single day, I was the first person, like Rabbi Eliezer Hagadol. And as a result, my reward is that I got a richos yamim. Frey Tois has it in our Gemara. Our Gemara says that there was a baskal. Meaning, it's not like Rav Preda maybe didn't know why he had a richos yamim in Megillah Daf Chav Zayin. Amid Beis, he guessed, and after learning Erev and Nun Dalet Amid Beis, we realized that Rav Preda was mistaken. No, there was a Baskol that told Rav Preda very, very clearly. It sounds like he knew why he had Arichas Yalim. So what's pshat in that Gemara, Megillah Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis? So Tosfos says, could be that both are true, meaning Rav Preda had Arichas Yalim because of the story with this Talmud that he was so patient that he taught him 400 times, and that one day he even taught him another 400 times, and it was also related to the fact that he was always the first person in Beis Medrash. Inami, or Tosfos says, it could be Ba'isa it could be he didn't know that Hashem told him he's going to end up getting both. Meaning, he chose that him and his generation should merit a portion in the world to come. The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, not Rav Preda, them, the heavenly tribunal, Tenu Lo Zu V'Zu. But Rav Preda himself didn't know that. Rav Preda had Arichas Yamim. They asked him, why do you have Arichas Yamim? He said, I think, Me'olam Lo Kodmani Yodim Lo Beis Medrash. Then Rav Preda realized he's living a very long time. 100 years, another 100 years. At some point, Rav Preda said, you know something? This is probably not simply because of the fact that it was Me'olam Lo Kodmani Yodim Lo Beis Medrash, but rather this is probably related to that Basko Yisrael, and even though I picked that me and my generation should be zeicha to a chelik in Olam Haba, it would seem from here that really I was zeicha the tenu lo yizu vizu, and that's why he was so mayrach yam. Just one other ha'ara, and that is, what does it mean that him and his generation, because of this story, merited a portion in the world to come? Doesn't the Mishnah say, Kol Yisrael Yechlam Chelik Lailam Haba? I thought every Yid gets a Chelik in Lailam Haba. The fact that Rapreid and his daughter got a Chelik in Lailam Haba is a Chiddish. That's the Gemara Daf Nandal on the base. I thought every single Yid has a Chelik in Lailam Haba. But the truth is that Taisis in different places, Ksubas Daf Kuf Gimel on the base, there are places where the Gemara says that if somebody does this, guaranteed that he has a chelik in olam haba. Kol ashoyin halachis b'chol yoyim. Kol oim retila l'david three times a day. The Gemara says that whoever was present at the time that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi passed away was guaranteed to have a chelik in olam haba. Taisa says, what do you mean? I thought kol yisrael yeshlam chelik l'olam haba. So he says, yeah, kol yisrael yeshlam chelik l'olam haba. But sometimes a person has to go through din and yisurim, mishpat, gehenim, is yod beis chaydish. So there's a cleansing process that a person needs to go through. He needs to be refined, his soul does, before it's able to enter Olam Haba. The Chiddush that you find in Muftach Loishan Shehu Ben Olam Haba, as Tosfos says, B'loy Din U'B'loy Yisurim. Either way, this Gemara is a little bit of a Tzushtal to that. This is just the abridged version of some of the raid that we're going to speak about Rav Preida. A lot more to come in the raid bites. Zok de Gemara. Amar Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda said, Ein Torah Niknes, if a person wants to acquire Torah, he has to sit down and he has to strategize. He has to make simonim. These are the simonim that we talked about on Daf Nun Gimel. These are the simonim that the Aderet wrote a sefer about. We spoke about his psicha to a sefer. So this is just another Gemara that talks about the importance of coming up with a tachbula, a way for a person to be able to remember his learning. So sharp that Reb Chizda said, "Ein Torah niknes ela." The only way a person could acquire Torah is if he develops some system for him to memorize. With Simonim Shenemer, how do you know that? Because it says in the Torah, Sima Befiim, Ba'ata Kisva Lechemes Hashir Azois, V'lamdes B'nei Yisrael, Sima Befiim, Al Tikri Sima with a sin, Ela Simona with a Samach, make Simonim, Ba'ata Kisva Lechemes Hashir Azois, V'lamdes B'nei Yisrael, Simona Befiim. A person has to have Simonim, that's the way he remembers Torah. Shomer of Tachlifim Arabir, Tachlifa, who was from Eretz Yisrael, and was in Bava when he heard this from Rav Chizda. So he went back to Eretz Yisrael and he reported what he heard. Azal Amr Kameh de Rabava. So you have Kiyasa Rav Dimi, Kiyasa Rav, and all the Amiram that were in Eretz Yisrael. And when they came back to Bava, they reported what they heard in Bava. This is just the opposite. Rav Tachlifa was from Eretz Yisrael. He was Rav Tachlifa Mima Rava. He was from the West. He was from Eretz Yisrael. He heard what Rav Chizda Bavel said, and he went back to Eretz Yisrael and he told Rav Avo. Amar, so Rav Avo told him, Atun mehosa masnith. We know this halacha from someplace else. The pasuk says, and this is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, had tzivi lach tziyunim, simi lach tamrurim. What does tziyunim mean? Asu tziyunim l'toyer. Makes simonim to be able to remember your little. My mashab haitzi lach and simonim. How do you know that a tziyun is a simon? D'chsev? So he quoted another pasuk. This is a pasuk in Yechesko, v'avru ha'ovrim ba'aretz, Vira etzem adam, uvana etzloi tzion, ad kavru oise, and mekabri lagei amoyin goy. That you're going to be walking and you're going to see the bone of a person. And it's important to make a tzion, so like this. Until the Chevr Kadisha, until Misaskin comes, until the people that deal with the Kfura comes like this, don't know what they need to do. But either way, there's an idea that you see tzion is a simin. Thus, the pasuk at Tzivi Lach Tziyunim in Yirmiyo Lamed Aleph, that's the makar to this idea. Rabbi Laz Amar Mechor, Laz learned it from somewhere else. Emer Lachachma Achoysi At, Umayda Labanim Tikra. It's referring to Torah, it's referring to Chachma. Say Maidan Le Torah. You have to make Maidan for Torah. Do something that you'll be able to remember your Rabbi. Rabbi said it means something else. Say Mayadim Le Torah. Rashi, Kavu Itim. There should be a designated time for people to learn Torah. The pasuk says regarding Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Yidden that it's not like the Torah is in Shemayim. Meaning, if the Torah would have been in Shemayim, so then you would say, Mi Alolanu HaShemayim, Rosh HaTevis Mila, Saifet Tevis Havayim, but you would say, Mi Alolanu HaShemayim, V'loi Ve'emel Hayomi, the Torah is also not overseas, not on the other side of an ocean. Leimer Mi Yavolanu El Ever Hayomi, Yikochel Lanu, V'yashman Yenu Oisev Anasel, says the Gemara, you know what you see from here, Shem B'Shemayim, Mi Atatzarech, Lalu Sachere, you see that had the Torah been in Shemayim, a person would have an obligation to go up to Shemayim to acquire Torah. V'em Evel Hayomi, if it would have been on the other side of the ocean, Atatzarech, Lalu Sachere, you would have to cross the ocean to go ahead and get it. Either way, says the Gemara, Vahainu da Amri. What do you mean Vahainu da Amri? What's the connection to what we just said? So Rashi says that we're making such a big deal that a person has to remember his learning. Tzarech l'troyach ulahamet simonim ulaharim betachbulois k'deish t'skayim ator b'loim deo. Tap Rashi Yom. Why do you have to do all this? What's the big deal? Well, just learn. If you forget, so you forget. Right? Why do you have to make all these simonim? You know why? Because you see how important it is for a person to have Torah. Because had Torah been in Shemayim, you would have had to go up to Shemayim to get it. And had it been me'ever la'yom, at the tzorech la'ver achareh. So from the pasuk lo'i b'shamayimi, v'lo'i ve'ever la'yami, you see the importance of acquiring Torah. Thus, you see that it's important to be matrich. If you would have to be matrich to go to Shemayim to get the Torah, then you have to be matrich to figure out a way to remember the Torah that you learned. Zok de gemar, Rav Amar, Rav has had a different pshat. In lo'i b'shamayimi, v'lo'i me'ever la'yami. A pshat that we mentioned a few times in Masechtas Erevin. And that is le'timotze. That a person that's a balgaiva, his das is so high, he thinks so much of himself that he's like the shamayim, loy b'shamayim. A person like him is not going to be zoichet Torah. Additionally, Torah is not found by someone who has such archavas das. Again, gaiva like the yam. Rabbi Yochanan said loy b'shamayim, like timatzi begasu aruach, like Rava Taich, loy meiver layomi, like timatzi. You don't find Torah loy b'sacharonim, loy Tagarim, merchants and businessmen and seichrim, so they're not able to acquire Torah. So just two ha'aris before we return to our regular program, which is Masechtas Erevin, and that is number one. So Rava Darshind loy b'shamayimi loy timotze b'misha magbia daiti alei k'shamayim v'loy me'ever layami loy timotze b'misha marchiv daiti alei. So we've spoken in the past about Rava and Midas Ha'anava. And the truth is, we recently spoke about Rabbi Yosef and Midas Ha'anava. Rabbi Yosef said on the Mishnah that says Mishameis Rebbe Bakla Nava. So what did Rabbi Yosef say? Like this Nava? It's the wrong garrison in the Mishnah. Look at me. I'm a Nava. We said the Lubavitcher Rebbe said that the reason Rabbi Yosef in Shas is the Sinai, Tarti B'mashma. Number one, he was a Bucky. He knew everything, as in everything that was given over at Har Sinai, but also Har Sinai was humble, and Rabbi Yosef was Midas Ha'anava. So Rabbi Yosef goes down as Midas Ha'anava. Who was Rabbi Yosef's Talmud Muvuk? It was Rava. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef had Talmudim Abaye and Rava. Abaye was a Talmud of Rabba, and Rava was a Talmud of Rabbi Yosef. Now they both intercrossed, meaning Abaye was also a Talmud of Rav Yosef, and Rava was also a Talmud of Rabba, but Abaye's Rabbi Muvik was Rabba, and Rava's Rabbi Muvik was Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef is Betachlis Ha'anava, so it seems very reasonable that Rava's the one over here in Erev and Daf Nun Hey Amid Aleph, who's talking about Midas Ha'anava. We had the Gemara on Daf Nun Dalet Amid Aleph, where the Gemara says that Rava had to go be Mephias Rabbi Yosef, and he went to him on Erev Yom Kippur, and then Rabbi Yosef told Rava, don't sit down until you explain this pasuk to me. We saw this Gemara on Nun Dalet Amid Aleph. Amalei, so what did Rava tell him? Other Mesa a person has to make himself like a midbar. What does it mean? He has to be a nonav. And then he continued. And he went and he said, meaning, who's talking? Rava and Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is the Anav. He's the Sinai. He's the one that said in the last Gemara, Masech Tesoito, Leitisne Anavet Ikana, who's his Talmud? His Talmud is Rava. Rava, my cotton daf chav chesem, and Alv said he used to daven for three things. One of the things he davened was that he should be an Anav like Rabbi Baravuna. I saw somewhere that somebody asked, why didn't he daven he should be an Anav like his Rebbe Rav Yosef? Interesting Anav. Why did he daven he should be an Anav like Rabbi Baravuna? He should have davened that he should be an Anav like his Rebbe Yosef. But again, this is another Gemara about Rava the Anav. Just one other Ha'ara is Rabbi Yochanan Taicht, loy b'shamayimi, like Rava, loy timatzei begasei aruach, v'loy ve'emer layami, loy timatzei loy b'sacharonim, v'loy b'tagarim. Rabbi Yochanan said that if a person is going to be a soicher, if a person's going to be a tagger, a person like that isn't going to be able to be successful in learning. What's the reason? So Rashi says, sachronim are mechazim bayoris. They travel a lot. Tagarim also travel somewhat. But the point is in order to learn Torah, Rashi quotes the Gemara earlier, you have to be like a necklace. You have to be nira ve'ene nira. Meaning that when you're on the road that much, it's very hard. A person has to be ashri yosh ve'vesecha. In Bismedrish, he has to be shifty beveis Hashem if he's going to be able to acquire learning. So Rabbi Yochanan said, lo'i timatze, lo'i besachron, lo'i betagar. What comes to mind? The Gemara in Tainis, Ilfen Rabbi Yochanan. Ilfen Rabbi Yochanan were once sitting at Beis Medrash, and then they decided they're going to go out and they're going to make money, so they'd be Mekayim the Pasik of Lo Ephes, Lo Yebacha Evyoy. And Ilfa ended up continuing on, and he became a Seicher, and Rabbi Yochanan turned around. So Rabbi Yochanan, again, we're now going into the Gemara Masechtas Tainis. We've gone through it a few times as a Chabura, just a few. So the Gemara says, who is Rabbi Yochanan darshan here in Erevin Nunheim and Aleph? Leitimatze, Leibesachrona, Veleibetagar. This is Rabbi Yochanan Lashitasle, who didn't go with Elfa. It's Rabbi Yochanan that turned around. Again, all these Mamari Agada, you see it again, Hafeichba, Vafeichba, that once you get to know a little bit about the Ishiyut of the Amira, of the Tana, it all comes together, it fits together like a puzzle. Either way, on that note, we return to Masechtas Erevin, briefly, until the raid bite. So the Mishnah said, Kate said, Ma'abrin Esa Arin. How do we extend the boundaries of a city? So we're discussing the halachos of Techumen. The halach of Techumen states that a person is only allowed to walk up to 2,000 amos beyond his Makom on Shabbos. I mean, it doesn't mean you can only walk 2,000 amos. What it means is that you have a Makom on Shabbos, and outside of that Makom, you can walk up to 2,000 amos. So, for example, if you're spending Shabbos on the side of the road, your Makom is Dalet al Dalet. So, you're now allowed to go Alpayim Amah L'chol Ruach from your Dalet Amos. If you're spending Shabbos in your house, it's Alpayim Amah from your house. If your house is in a city, then it's Alpayim Amah from the edge of the city. So, the Mishnah over here was discussing that when we measured the Alpayim Amah from cities, Kates and Ma'abrin Esarim, how exactly did we extend the city? And the Mishnah was rather technical. We didn't really explain the Mishnah that much when we learned it initially. Now, the Gemara on Daf Nun Hey is going to go into the Mishnah in somewhat greater detail. But the point of the Mishnah was, is that when you have a city, so you need to first fix the city, meaning figure out what the dimensions and the parameters of the city are, so that you can then go and measure the Alpayim Amos. So we're trying to understand the city from a technical / halachic perspective as it relates to the laws of Tchumen, so that we know where to start measuring the Alpayim Amos from. Tanu Rabban and Abraisa. Okay, it's an Abnesa Arin. Arucha. If you have a city that's shaped like a rectangle, then you just leave it. It's perfect. If it's a perfect rectangle, all good. Agula. What if the city is shaped round? Oysalazavius, Miru, you make corners. Meaning you have to square off the circle. You never have a round city. What you do is you give it four corners and then you start measuring. Mirubas. Let's say it's a square. In Oysalazavius, you don't have to do anything. It's a square. What would be if it was a rectangle, but it was wider on one side and it was narrower on the other side? It wasn't a perfect rectangle. So Rayanosekilo he shove it. Then you even it out, meaning you extend with an imaginary line the wider side. You make it even, and then you do it. What would be if one city was protruding beyond the rows of houses? So you have a row of houses that makes up the edge of the city, and there's one house that's sticking out a little bit. This was the first halacha of the Mishnah. Or you have two houses that are sticking out. So you do is, again, you draw an imaginary line that's going to be perpendicular to the outside part of that house that's protruding a little bit, and that's what you measure from, meaning the house that's sticking out the farthest, that ends up being the point from where you start measuring. What would be if the city was shaped like a bow, as in the bow of a bow and arrow, or more simply, a semicircle? But the point is, this picture's in your Vilna Shas, but you see that there's houses that are next to each other, but they form this semicircle, and the inside part of the semicircle is completely empty. So the shaila over here is, when you're going to measure the city, are you measuring from where the houses end? What about that whole gap, that blank area where there are no houses? Is that considered part of the city as it relates to measuring, or is it not? Or what would be if it's shaped like Gam? Rashi says, what's Gam? Gimel Yevani. It's the Gimel of the Greek letter. So Rashi says, it's Asui Kimin Kof Kefufa Shalanu. So again, there's a picture here. It's basically, it's an inverted endochof. But the point is, Roya Noisa, you have this empty space. Kilo Himalei Batim. You look at it as if it's filled with houses, v'chatzeres. Umoidim imenu la'alon alpayim amos. So again, you draw an imaginary line where the string of the bow would be that connects the two edges of the city that's shaped like a bow, or you square off the city that's shaped like the Gam, and then you start measuring from the outside parts. Zok to Gemara. So we said a whole bunch of halachas. The Gemara is going to discuss not all of them, because some of them are pretty straightforward, but the Gemara is going to discuss some of them. So the first halacha was, Arucha Kemoshehi. If you have a rectangular shaped city, you leave it the way it is. What should you do to it? Tamar says, no, it's a rectangle, right? Some other time I would have thought, I would have thought that maybe you should square it off. Maybe it has to be shaped like a square. Maybe a rectangle is not good, even though the rectangle has four corners, but maybe it has to be a square. That's the chiddush. Mirubas, ain't no Islam zavis. The Braisa said, if it's shaped like a square, you leave it the way it is. Okay, this is really obvious. It's not a circle, it has corners. It's a perfect square. What's the issue? So the Gemara says, like, tricha, you know what the chiddush is? Demarba. V'loimarba biribui shalolam. It was a square. However, the four sides of the square weren't aligned perfectly with the four sides of the world. What does that mean? So we'll see more about that in a very intense stuff, Nun Vav. But for now, the Gemara says the northern side of the square is not facing the Tzofin side of the world, and the Darim side is not facing the Darim side of the world, but rather the sides are not perfectly aligned. What's the chiddush? Mao de tema, I would have thought lirva b'ribuya oilam, that maybe you should square it off so that it is aligned. Kamash bolat. How you buy sechay yoytzigim and pigum? If you had one house that was sticking out a little bit from the rows of houses, oichnei batim, you had two houses yoytzin kemis. So the halach is that what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to extend the city. You draw an imaginary line like we saw in the Mishnah and like we saw in the Brisa. Kemin shnei pigum feit the gemara hash to buy sechad. I'm rich nei batim yiboy. If one house is sticking out, there's one person who's Yoitza Doifin, he's sticking out from the row of houses. The halacha is that's enough to extend the city. So Kal v'chaymer, if there are two houses that are sticking out, certainly that should be enough. So faith the Gemara, why does the Braisa have to tell me one house? Oh, and two houses. Pshita. Once I know one house, two houses, mi bayis. The Gemara says, Litzricha mishtei ruchas. You're right. If the two houses were on the same side, then it's obvious. If one house protruding is enough to extend the city, certainly two houses would be enough. You know what the chiddush is? Where one house was sticking out to Tzarim, to Tzof, and the other house was sticking out to Dart. Now the tema here, there's already a havamina. Ich volt gevolt meinin miru achachas hamrina mishtei ruchas leymen. Maybe you can extend the city with one house on one side, but to do it on two houses, maybe not. Kamash malon, that's the chiddush. Hoysa suya kamin keshes oikamin gan. If the city was shaped like a bow, or it was shaped like the Greek letter gamma, Ryan Isa Kilo Himalay Batmachatars. You fill up that whole empty gap, umaided mimena, and from the edge of the imaginary line, that's where you measure Ulahalon. From there forward, Alpayamam. Amar Rafuna. Rafuna said regarding this halacha, regarding a city that was shaped like a keshes. Irsha, so you can catch it. You have a city that's shaped like a keshes. In Yeshbein Shnei Rosh Pachas Miarbos Alpayamam. If there's less than 4,000 amos from the two edges, the bottom of this keshes, moideden la min hayeser. So then we can measure the alpayim amah from this imaginary string that we created on the bottom of the keshes. But if there's 4,000 amos or more, then moideden la min hakeshes. Then you have to measure all the way from the top, from where the houses are. But you don't create this imaginary line and measure from there. That's what Rav Huna said. Feit gemara kasha. Meaning, Rav Huna was qualifying the Braisa. The Braisa said, Ira asuya kikeshes, and what's the halacha? You fill up the area, you create an imaginary border, and you measure the alpayim amah from there. Rav Huna said, not always. That's not necessarily the way it is. Rav Huna said, it depends. If there's less than 4,000 amos between the two edges of the keshes, then this is the halacha. If, however, there's 4,000 amos or more, then the halacha is going to be different. Frek the Gemara Kasha. Did Rav Huna say that? If you have a city and the city was breached, so you see there's a picture, four lines from the bottom in the Vilna Shas. There's literally a pirtza that goes through the entire city, and it took what was once one happy city and it created now a tale of two cities, right? That's essentially what happened. So the halacha is, if it's Meyav Arbam Be'achas V'Shlish, if there's 141 and a third amos or less in between that area, so then the halacha is, we're going to look at it as one big city for Tchumen purposes. If, however, there's more than that amount of space between the two of them, so then the halacha is, we're not going to look at it as being one big city. Rather, we're going to look at it as two cities. Now, how in the world do we come up with that number? 141 and a third? So it's based on a Gemara that we learned in the second parak. Gemaras that we're going to see more about. And that is that there's a concept of a karfif. A karfif is an area that's surrounded by mechitzas. However, it's not really used for residential purposes. It has a din of Rishus Hayachim B'day Raisa. However, the Rabbanon didn't like it so much. So the Rabbanon said that if it's up to 70 and two-thirds amos, which is 5,000 square amos, 70 and two-thirds by 70 and two-thirds, then we're going to treat it as a karfif you'd be able to carry there, assuming it's mukif mechitzas on Shabbos. If, however, it's more than that, then it has a din of a karmelus, and at that point, you're not allowed to carry anymore. The point is that there's something called a karfif, and the Chachamim gave a shear, a maximum shear to a karfif. It's 70 and two-thirds amos. So if you now have two cities, which were previously one, and is less than 141 and a third amos between the two of them, so we could look at them as one big city. You know why? Because every city deserves a karfif. So what we say is, oh, the two cities each have karfifs. The karfifives are overlapping. Once they overlap, now it becomes one big city. It's one big city. So linyan tchumin, you get alpayim amos from the edges of the cities, regardless, at the Gemara. So who said this halacha? Rav Huna did. So what's the kasha? Marat. Two halachas Rav Huna said. Rav Huna was discussing an ir ha'asuya ki keshes. We're trying to figure out where you measured alpayim amos from. The Braisa said, you fill up the keshes and you measure it from your imaginary line. So Rav Huna, not so fast. Only if there's within 4,000 amos on the two sides. Meaning, less than 4,000 amos from the bottom sides of the keshes, then you can fill it up. Otherwise, you can't fill it up. But what's the number to decide if this is one big area? The number is 4,000. Right, that's the number. I mean, it's less than 4,000, so then you're going to look at it as a city, as it relates to a city that was cut into two. So then you need a different number. What's the number? It's 141 and a third. So what does it sound like? It sounds like we have a kasho, we have a stira. So do you need less than 4,000 amos to be mechaber? Or is the number 141 and a third? Amarav, but barahulu le kasho, kan beruach achas, kan mishtei ruchas. There's a fundamental difference. In the case of the keshes, the city is really mechubar, right? It's really connected. Where's it connected? Along the keshes. There's just a big gaping hole in the inside part of the keshes. But it really is mechubar. Being that it's mechubar, it's just not mechubar on one side. Oh, it's not mechubar miruach achas. So then up to 4,000 amos, it's still going to be mechubar. You know why? Because at the very least, it's mechubar on one side. In the story where the city was breached, it was breached on both sides. Mishtei ruchas. Oh, it's breached mishtei ruchas. So over there, it's going to be different. And being that it's mishtei ruchas, so there the threshold is much lower in order for it to be considered one city. Yeah, if they each have a karfif, then it's going to be okay. So, the Gemara, my kamashman. Okay, so let's revisit Rav Huna's second halacha. Rav Huna said halacha that if you have a city, the city was Nifritza, 141 and a third amos, it's one big city. Otherwise, not. So the Gemara says, what's the chiddush of that halacha of Rav Huna? L'chura, my kamashman, the nice karfif is over karfif. Like we explained it. Each city gets a karfif. The two karfifas overlap. As a result, we look at it as one. Fate the Gemara, I'm Rav Huna, Chodesh Rav Huna said this already. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, nice and karfif le'ir. When it comes to measure tchumin, every city gets a karfif. Meaning, you don't just measure from the outside of the city. It's 70 amos and two-thirds, and that's where you measure from. Chacham said, no. Like amru karfif, elu bein shtei ayaris. The whole idea of karfif playing a role in tchumin is to connect two cities. V'itmar, Rav Huna amar. Rav Huna explained the Chachamim Shita. And how he explained it? Karfif lezu, v'karfif lezu. That when you connect two cities with a karfif, each city gets its own karfif. But the bottom line is, what did Rav Huna say? Karfif lezu, v'karfif lezu. So we know from that halacha of Rav Huna that you can connect two cities that are technically different cities by giving each one a karfif. We know the maximum shear of a karfif in Masechtas Erevin is 70 and two-thirds amos. 70 and two-thirds and 70 and two-thirds is 141 and a third. So this is back in the envelope arithmetic. We can figure this out on our own. So the Gemara's kasha now is, the original kasha was a steer in Rav Huna. Here it's 4,000 amos. Here it's 141 and a third. This is a different kasha. It's not a stira. This is Rav Huna. Rav Huna, you're being redundant. Why do you have to tell me that halacha twice? Meaning, why do you have to tell me that we have two cities that the halacha is 141 that you can connect? This is Rav Huna's halacha. Rav Huna said it to explain the Chachamim Shita. Rav Meir said every city gets a karf. The Chachamim said no, not regarding Tchumen. Like Amru karfif elu ben shtei ayaris. But how does it work ben shtei ayaris? It's karfif lezu, the karfif lezu. So the Gemara says Tzrich. Rav Huna had to say both halachas. It's very simple. The Yashmin and Hacha. Because had we only had this halacha, I would have thought much from the Havalit side had to make Kara. In the case where you had a city that was breached, and the one city became two cities, so I would have thought over there each city gets a karfif. You know why? Because it was once one city. Once upon a time, the people living on the east side of the city were able to measure a Payim Amar from the west side, and vice versa. That used to be the way it was. What happened was it was breached. So maybe over there, where it was once a Koyach Teira, now maybe there's a svara that they're grandfathered in, and that's why at the very least they get these two karfifas. Aval hasam. But in a classic case, when you want to be mechaber two cities that were never ever one, hey Maloy, who said that you can take a karfif, let alone two karfifas, and be mechaber? It's a chiddush v'yash min hasam, had we only had there, I would have thought mishum detchika tash mishtayo. What's the idea of getting a karfif? Because the assumption is that you need it. Because otherwise, it gets a little stuffy, right? You want a little landscaping. But you would think that maybe this city that was once one and now became two, they never had a karfif. They used to have neighbors. Yeah, it just so happens that there was Upartzu Chaimus Migdalai. Something happened over there. And as a result, the whole city was turned upside down. But it's not like they used to living in the suburbs where they need their karfif, right? People in the city never heard of a karfif. So who said that they're supposed to get it? Oh, emaloi tzricha. So this is a bezundere chiddush. Right? From a high level, it's the same halacha. There's a concept you can be mechaber two cities as long as they're within 141 and a third amas from each other, based on the idea that each city gets a karfif, and if the two karfifas overlap, it works out. But there's a special chiddush that you can work in the two cases where Rafuna said it. Zokte gemara. V'kama havi ben yesel lekeshes. Is there a shir? I mean, we're talking about the shiurim of this keshes-shaped city. Meaning, do we look at it as a city? So we draw a line in the bottom and you get al payamama from the bottom no matter where in the city you live? Or maybe each person has to cheshbin from where he lives his own al payamama. So we said that Rafuna's halacha can't have more than 4,000 amas from one side to the other. How about from the top to the bottom? Well, you're going to draw this imaginary line. Kama havi ben yesel keshes. How much space can there be from there? Rabbi Rafuna amar al payamama. Said 2,000 amas, I think that's the share. Rav Abayi the Rabbi Rafuna, Amar Afilu Yesem Alpayim. Even if it's more than 2,000 amas, Amar Abayi. Kavasi the Rav Abayi the Rabbi Rafuna Mestabrich mean more than 2,000 amas. Why? He said, because what's the methodology? What would be the svara of 2,000 amas? The svara is that's a share. Meaning, if it's within my tchum, so it makes sense that this imaginary line is shayich to me. Said Abayi, I don't need to go and walk a straight line from my house to the keshes if I want to go there on Shabbos. Meaning, let's say it's more than 2,000 amas from my house. That's fine, but it's not necessarily more than 2,000 amas from the houses on the side. I mean that I could always walk down the side, down one of the sides of the keshes, and get to that place, and it's going to be within my 2,000 amas. So it's not really more than 2,000 amas removed. So you said, because I could always go derech batim. So it's not really 2,000 amas removed. I mean that it's not really 2,000 amas removed. There really is no svara to make this about 2,000 amas. Mehecha teisi. Regardless, returning back to the Mishnah. So again, the Mishnah was discussing Ketzem Abernes Aram. We're trying to figure out how exactly we extend the cities as it relates to defining the city so we can measure the Alpayim Amah. So the Mishnah said, Bayis Nichnas Bayis Yoytze, Pigum Nichnas Pigum Yoytze. We just learned a lot about that. Then the Mishnah said, Hoyisham Gedud Yoytze Gevayis Asar Tfachim. If there were runes that were 10 Tfachim tall, or Gisharim, there were bridges. Unafashais, there were like an oil over a mace or a matzeva. Sheishben Beizdira, that also had a place for somebody to live. Maitzi and Esamida Kenegdom. In that case, it'd be Maitzi, the Mida Kenegdom. Now, Rashi in the Mishnah was Mefarish. It's just important for Pashup Shad and the Gemara. And that is that these runes that we're talking about, these bridges, these nefashais, they were within 70 and 2/3 amas from the city. Meaning, Ramea said every city gets a karfif, right? Anytime you measure a city, you don't just measure from the edge of the city. It's the city plus 70 and 2/3. Chum argued. Chum said, like, Amru karfif elo ben shtei ayaris. Stating that there is an idea that sometimes every city is going to get a karfif. And that is, if within 70 and 2/3 amas, from the outer part of the city, there's something going on that we can look as being a connection, a hemsheikh of the city, so then it's going to extend the city. So just to say, with a hefker, every single city gets 70 and 2/3. Why? Because every city deserves a karfif. The Chachamim said, Amru karfif elo ben shtei ayaris. In Tchumin, karfif is used to connect two cities. Like the Gemara we just learned with Rav Huna. However, there is a time where if something's within the shear of a karfif, it's within the 70 and 2/3 amas, but it's something of significance, it's something residential, as we're about to see. So then the halacha is, if that thing is there, it's going to extend the city. And the Mishnah gave a few examples of it. The Mishnah discussed the runes that were 10 tefachim tall. The Mishnah discussed bridges. And the Mishnah discussed nefashos, an oil that you would find over a mace. Zok to Gemara, number one, my gedudyos. Clarify a little bit what runes means. Zok de Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, Sholish mechitzos, sheino le'atikra. If you have a structure that's destroyed. However, it still has three mechitzos. There's no roof on top. That would be enough. What would be if it had two mechitzos, but there was a roof? Would that count or would that not count? So it's like Gemara says, Toshma, I'll bring you a raya from the following brisa. And this brisa is going to really go into the weeds of this halacha. Elu shemes abrim ima. The following are examples of things that if they're within 72 thirds amis of the outskirts of the city, they're able to extend the city. Number one, nefesh yeshba arba amis al abra amis. If you have a nefesh, you have this matseva, but it's 4 amis by 4 amis. It's big. This is an oil. Vahagesher, a bridge. Vahakever, sheyesh ben beistir. Or you have a kever that has a place for somebody to live there. Someone other than the mace. Ubeis HaKnesses sheyesh ba beis dira, or if you have a beis haKnesses, a shul, and there's a place for the chazan to live, ubeis avodas kechavim. Even if there's a beis avodas kechavim, sheyesh ba beis dira, the kaimim, place for the galich to live, for a rivois, or a stable, for oitzri shavasados, for yesh ben beis dira, you have an oitzri like a storage house, a shed that people can live in, vahaburgen in huts shebetoicha, vahbayis shebeyam, or there's a little island within 72 thirds. Amis of the city, and there's a house on that island. Hare elumas abrinimo. The halach is these things extend the city. These are all significant from a residential perspective. Hence, we can look at them as part of the city. They can extend the city. Elu sheimis abrinimo. The following are examples of things that cannot extend the city. I mean, even if they're within 72 thirds amis, it doesn't matter. Nefesh shenifritza mishte ruchoseo elach ve'elach. If you have a nefesh, but two of its walls were broken, v'hagesher. Or you have a bridge, v'hakever she'en la beis dira. You have a kever that doesn't have a beis dira. Ubeis haknesses, you have a shul she'en la beis dira l'chazan. Doesn't have a place for the chazan to live. Ubeis avodas kechavim she'en la beis dira l'kaimim. You have a beis avodas zara, doesn't have a place for the galach to live. V'urvois, a stable. V'oitzah shebasodah she'en la beis dira. They don't have a beis dira. Ubar v'siach u'ma'ara, different pits. V'geder, just all it is a fence. V'shayvach, where the doves live. Shebetoicha v'abayis shebesvina. Or you have a house that's not on an island, but that's merely on a boat. Ein elu misabra mima. These things are not enough to be misabra. So what do we want from all this? And this was important to the sugya that we're learning, but we brought it for a very specific point. We discussed the shaila. The Mishnah said if there were gududiyos, gvayos asar tfachim, it could extend the city. What's the definition of gudiyos? Said the Gemara, shalish mechitzos she'en aleim tikra. And ibayaluhu, the Gemara had a shaila. What if you had 2 mechitzos, v'yesh aleim tikra? Is that significant enough to extend the city, or is it not? So the Gemara says, "Luchur, we have arrived from this price." Because there's one line in this price that seems to discuss this shaila. Ketani miyos nefesh shenifritza mishtei ruchayseh elach ve'elach. If you have a nefesh that was nifritza mishtei ruchayseh, two of its sides are knocked down. The halach is it does not extend the city. Now, my lav dikur tikra doesn't sound like even if there's a roof on top. Gemara says loy. The leka tiv tikra. It's talking about where there was no roof on top. Okay, mayis shebiyam la maychaz. The Gemara mentioned the bayis shebiyam. If there was an island, there's a little house on it, it's within 72 thirds of the edge of the city, that's enough to extend the city. Sounds like it serves a purpose. What is it good for? Amira papa, bayis sha'asu, the finest pekel shevesfina. The sfina would unload some of its kalim there. As a result, it served a purpose. Again, it has to serve a residential purpose in order for it to be able to be ma'abr the city. Another question. One of the things that we said doesn't work is a cave, a ma'ara. Fatani rabchia, ma'ara misaberesima. Ma'ara does work. It does extend the city. Again, if you have a ma'ara within 72 thirds, amas of the city extends it. I'm rabbi, sheesh binyan up here. It's talking about where there was a binyan on top of the ma'ara. Freak to ma'ara if there's a binyan. Fetepek le misho binyan gufe. So we need the ma'ara for. A binyan, anyways, extends the city. Loit srichad says the Gemara, lahashlim. No, it's nageya, lahashlim. What would be if the binyan itself didn't have the requisite shear, which is Arba amos al arba amos. We saw that right in the beginning of the Gemara. Elu shemes abrim mima nefesh sheyesh ba arba amos al arba amos. And that is the shear. That's the magic formula for everything. It has to be 4 amos by 4 amos. What would be if it wasn't 4 amos by 4 amos? The ma'ara could be mitzarif in the event that there's a ma'ara together with a binyan. So the ma'ara together with a binyan is good. A ma'ara without a binyan is not going to be good. Exhale. So going back to the beginning of the daf, the opening Gemara, which discussed the story with Rav Preda. Rav Preda had a Talmud. He used to teach this Talmud, his learning, 400 times. And after 400 times, the Talmud understood what Rav Preda was teaching him. One time, Rav Preda told him that he's going to have to leave abruptly. He started teaching the Talmud, and the Talmud wasn't getting it. After 400 times, he still didn't get it. So Rebbe said, I understand, you always chaper after 400 times. How come you don't chaper now? So he told him, I'll tell you the truth. You told me you were going to have to leave. And as soon as you told me that, I couldn't concentrate. Because v'chol shaito, I mean, I kept on saying, hashtekoyimara. It's when Rebbe's about to get up. And I just couldn't focus. I couldn't concentrate. So Rebbe told the Talmud, it's fine, it's okay, let's try this again. He taught him another 400 times, and after the second time that he taught it him for 400 times, finally the Talmud got it. The Gemara says in Shemayim there was a tumult. In Shemayim they couldn't get over what Rav Preda did. So much so that a Baskel came out, and the Baskel talked to Rav Preda. It addressed him. It said, Rav Preda, what you just did was unbelievable, and you're going to be rewarded for it. And I'm going to give you a choice. You have two options. If you want, you can be zeicha to Arichas Yamin, nichalech the lisfilach dalad meyishne. You can live another 400 years. Or, choice B, is you and your entire generation will be zoicha to Olam Haba, which might mean Olam Haba without din and yisurim. Rav Preda didn't have to think about it. Rav Preda said that I'm mevatra my arichas yamim. I want that me and my generation should merit a portion in the world to come. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu told this heavenly tribunal that Rav Preda had such his batlus after this unbelievable story. You know what? Let him and his generation merit a portion in the world to come. And additionally, Rav Preda should be zoicha to arichas yamim. And as it would seem from Tosfos and the Gemara, that Kachava Rav Zeira had incredible arichas yamim. Why did he have so much arichas yamim? It's this Gemara. And Tosfos says, even though there's another Gemara that talks about the arichas yamim of Rav Preda, Megillah Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, but really, at the end of the day, after we saw everything fall into place, it would seem that it's this Gemara right here that Rav Preda merited to have incredible arichas yamim. Rav Ruvi Margolis wrote a sefer called Mechkorim Bedarchei HaTalmud. And he has a lot of interesting essays where he talks about different things that at first glance in Gemara are difficult to understand. And Kedarkei Bekodesh, the incredible Sinai that Rav Ruvi Margolis was, he explains the rest of the story with incredible genius. One of the theses that Rav Ruvi Margolis has in this sefer, it's Sifkat and Yud, is HaMisparim B'Talmud, numbers that you find in the Gemara. And he says that there are a lot of numbers that you find in the Gemara that really, at first glance, are very difficult to understand. And he says that he believes that there were a lot of mistakes in Talmud Bavli and in Midrashim and in Yerushalmi when it comes to numbers. And he says he believes that very often the reason the mistake happened was either because there was just like a printing error where somebody saw a manuscript and he didn't understand 100% of what he saw. But he said even more importantly is because in the Gemara they never use numbers, right? You don't find numbers. What you have are words that mean numbers, or sometimes you'll have Aleph, Beis, Gimel, which means 1, 2, 3, or maybe is an abbreviation for a number. And he says it's because of that there was confusion. And he says the truth is that if you ma'ayin in the Poiskim and in the Rishonim, they already bring different examples of it. I'll just mention a few. Number one, he brings that the Beis Yosef in Yerudei Simin Kuf Yud discusses a halacha that he found in the Teres Habayis. So this is in the Teres Habayis HaKotzer that said a halacha regarding Isser Shenis Arev Batul Be'esrim. This is a lashon in the Teres Habayis. That Isser Shenis Batnis Arev Batul Be'esrim. Says the Beis Yosef, it's a Teres Batul Be'esrim. Whoever heard about Batul Be'esrim? No such thing, Batul Be'esrim. So said the Beis Yosef, what the Teres Habayis mean? So he says, I think what happened was like this. I think that the Torah Sabayis wrote, Isser, that's Nisariv, Bebeis, has a din of Bittel. Because even though we're familiar with Bittel B'Shishim, that's if you have a Taruvos, Lach B'Lach. That's if two things get completely mixed into one. But if you have a Taruvos, Yavish, B'Yavish, there's three sandwiches. One is non-kosher, and two of them are kosher. So Taruvos, Yavish, B'Yavish is a concept of Isser, and Nisariv, Beheter, Chad B'Trei. But the Torah Sabayis didn't write Chad B'Trei. He wrote Bottle B'Beis. And he said whoever printed this Torah Sabayis thought that it wasn't a Beis, he thought it was a Chof. So instead of Bottle B'Beis, he wrote Bottle B'Chof, and that's how he came up with Bottle B'Esrim. It's Rabbi Yosef, says Rabbi Yosef Cairo. See, Rabbi Yosef Cairo acknowledged that it was Shaykh to make a mistake. He could make a mistake between a Beis and a Chof, and this is something that could happen. He brings another example. There's a Shach in Chosha Mishpat, Simin Kuf Lamed Beis, Siv Kotten Hei. The Shach over this says the following halacha. Shnayim Sha'arvu. If two people were Arevim on a loan. So Reuven borrows money from Shimon, and he got Levi and Yehuda to co-sign the loan. So if there's two Arevim, says the Shach, Shnayim she arvu loy yifre me eze mehem she yirtze. You can't go and just decide that you want to collect payment, assuming you have to go to the co-signer, from any one of the two people that you want. Says the Nesivos. This is the Nesivos HaMishpat. On the Shach, he says that he thinks it's a mistake. It's not true. Shnayim she'arvu lo yifrem me'ezemem she'yirtza. The Nesivos says, I think that loch is punkfakert. Shnayim she'arvu, you can go to whoever you want. He says, what do you mean? The Shach said, Shnayim she'arvu lo yifrem. What did the Shach mean? Says the Nesivos, I think there was a toys. I think that whoever printed the Shach thought that the Shach wrote Shnayim she'arvu lamed aleph, as in loymet al lamed, and loymet an aleph. Right? He thought that's what he meant. He meant loy. It's not what he meant. He meant to say le echad. Aleph is as in one person. Shnayim she'arvu le'echad yifra me'eza mehem she'yirtza. If two people were an arev for one person, you can go and you can collect payment from whoever you want. So says the Nesivos, I think it was a mistake. I think someone confused the lamed aleph, which was supposed to mean le'echad, as if it would have said loy. And as a result, there was a mistake. Either way, Rabbi Reuven Magolis goes after example and example and example where he proves different cases with this precedent for such an idea, where there was a mistake made because we don't have numbers, and as a result, somebody got a little bit confused. Then he gives a few more dramatic examples, some of which on the gay is some of the raid that we spoke about recently. There's a Gemara in the Sechtis Bava Metzia, that Pehei Amin Aleph. The Gemara over there says that Rabbi Yosef, as in the Sinai, Rabbi Yosef, as in the Onav, Yosef Arbon Tanesa. He once fasted 40 Tanesim, and he said the following, Lo Yomushu Mipicha. Rabbi Yosef so badly didn't want to forget learning. Yosef was a Sinai. He didn't want to forget learning. So he said, he fasted 40 Tanesim, so it should be Lo Yomushu Mipicha should always have his Torah. Says the Gemara, Yosef Arbon Tanesachrin. Then he fasted another 40 Tanesim. And he said, Lo Yomushu Mipicha Mipizaracha. This was for his children. Yosef Meya Tanisachrini. Then he fasted another 100 Tanesim. And he said, Lo Yomushu Mipicha Umipizaracha Umipizerezaracha. So Rabbi Yosef fasted three sets of Tanesim. He fasted 40 Tanesim. Lo yomushu mipicha. Another 40 tanesim. Lo yomushu mipicha mipizaracha. And then he fasted 100 tanesim. And he said, Lo yomushu mipicha mipizaracha v'zeres ha'omer. Then after he said, Mekam ve'echloi tzrichna. After this, I don't have to, because Torah machzeres ha'lachsan yishalah. If he has three generations of Torah, Rabbi Yosef said, I don't have to fast anymore. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Zeri kizolik l'arad Yisrael. Rabbi Zeri came to Eretz Yisrael. Yosef meya tanesa. He fasted 100 tanesim. De l'shtakech Gemara bavlo aminei, because he wanted to forget the Talmud Bavli. Ke'echad olay nitrude. Yosef meya tan achrin eis. Then he fasted another 100 Tanesim, that Rabbi Lozor shouldn't pass away during his lifetime. And then he fasted another 100 Tanesim, that he shouldn't be Nifka, Dle Nishlat Be Nura de Gehenna. Either way, says the Marshal, that he thinks there was a Toy Cipher in this Gemara. This is the Marshal. Rabbi Shloim Aluri. He says it was a Toy Cipher. Rabbi Yosef fasted 40 Tanesim, then he fasted another 40 Tanesim, then he fasted 100 Tanesim. So why'd he go from 40 to 40 to 100? Says it's interesting. Why would he go from 40 to 40 to 100? Says it's a Toy Cipher. He didn't fast 100 the third time. He fasted 40. He said it was 40, and then it was 40, and then it was 40. He says, Rabbi Zeira also. Rabbi Zeira fasted 100, 100, and 100. I don't think he really meant to fast 100, 100, 100. You know what he really meant, what he fasted? He fasted 40, 40, 40. Somebody made a mistake. So what was the mistake? The Marshal didn't explain what the mistake was, but he said there was a mistake. He said, what was the mistake? Said Rabbi Reuven Margolis. He said, you know what the mistake was? It's very, very simple. It must have said, Arboim, Arboim, and then it said, men. So whoever saw this, he must have assumed that the mem is probably short for Meya. That's probably what it is. But it's really not what it was. You know what mem was? It was the number 40. It's the gematria. It's the mispercutin of 40. That's what it was. See, he must have assumed, however, that he meant Meya. And that's where the Grice case is possible. Well, how else did you get from 40 to 100? Obviously, that was the mistake. It must have been mem. And there was a shaila. Is mem Meya or is mem 40? This person saw mem. Arbar mem. Oh, mem. It must be a different number. This must be 100. It must be short for me. It's really not what it was. Really, it was 40. And incidentally, says Rabbi Reuven Margolis, he says, half of a fellow. He says, it's poshut to my shaila skills so it makes more sense. He goes, what did they fast? 40, 40, 40. He says, we have a makar for 40, 40, 40. Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim. And he said, Alechem lo yachalti, yomayim lo yishasisi. And it was 40 and 40 and 40. And like we spoke out yesterday from Elif Lachos Shloimer of Shloimer Kluger, in his beautiful tshuva, tshuvois, that he wrote to this yid that wanted to do tshuva, who saw in the tikune of the tshuva from the Ramami Pano, where the Ramami Pano said that if a person has no cheshbon of all the various that he did, so what should he fast? Gimel hafsakos. Shall Gimel Tanesim. Three sets of Gimel Tanesim Ritzufas. So he said, what's the Cheshbon? He said, the Cheshbon is because the Ramah says in Tavkov Samen Ches, the Machabes says, the Yesh Mishonim, if somebody fasts 2 days in a row, Yom Velelois, Kilo Hisan Achiv Asiri. If somebody fasts 2 days in a row, it's Nechshav 40 Tanesim. Says Ramah, that's only if you're an Adam Chalosh. That's only if you're the faint of heart. But if you're a real Gibar, no, you're supposed to fast 3 days, 72 hours in a row. Because 72 hours is Nechshav Karbam. He says, it's Pasha, that's where the Ramah Mipano got it from. Because you see this idea of fasting 40, Moshe Rabbeinu, Lechem Lo Yochalti, Umayim Lo Shazisi, and he says, though 40 was all associated with the Chet Egel, even though the first 40 was before the Chet Egel. But it was all Misuvav on the Chet Egel, and Klai Yisrael ultimately got the Kapara from the 120 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was in Shemayim. So there's an idea, 40, that's what's going on in this Gemara, Bava Metzia, Pehei. This is Rabbi Yosef, 40, it's Rabbi Zeira, 40, it's that Shail Zeshuvah, Elif L'chash Shloimah, it's all this raid, it all comes together, it's that Ramah. But the bottom line is, said the Ramah, Gol Sayom, how did the mistake happen? How did we go from 40 to 40, 100 in Rabbi Yosef's case? Or to 100 in Rabbi Zeira's case? It was a mem. That's what it was. It was a mem. Is the mem 40 or was the mem meya? He says it can get confusing. And he says, pasha to him, that's what happened over here. Then he gives an even more dramatic example. He says something fascinating. The Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph, it comes up in other places as well. And every time you learn this Gemara, it's very hard to understand it. The Gemara says, Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Arbe Meyos Yuladim Hayu Loi LoDavid. David HaMelech had 400 children. V'kulam B'nei Yefas Toyer Hayu. They were all B'nei Yefas Toyer. So Yefas Toyer of the beginning of Parshas Kiseitze. Kiseitze la melchoma aloi vecho. So there's a halacha that if you're going to see an ishi yifas toyer, v'choshakta ba, v'lokach tocha l'isha, as I state in Torah. So David HaMelech had 400 children from yifas toyer. U'migadlan bluris hayu. They all grew a bluris. V'kulon yoishvin b'kroim yishal za. They used to ride on golden chariots. U'mahalchim b'rashi geisis. They used to go in the front of the army. V'hein hayu bali agroifim shalais David. These were the warriors of Beis David. Said Rabbi Reuven Margolis, this Chazal is Einoy Oimer Eladir Shuni. Says David HaMelech had 400 Bnei Yefas Toyer. It's impossible to understand. That's number one. He says, besides, the Rambam says that there was a halacha that when a person went to war, he was allowed to take a Yefas Toyer, but only one Yefas Toyer. So for every Muhammad that a person went to, there was a heter for one Yefas Toyer. He says, there's a Vayikra Rabbah in Perek Aleph that says that David HaMelech fought 18 Muhammads. So he says, if you do the math, based on Cheshbon, David HaMelech didn't have a right to have more than Yud Ches Yefas Toyers, which means that how in the world would it have been possible for him to have 400 children? There's no Cheshbon. By the way, Kubi does not even a heter for a Biyashniyah. So it's not possible. So how's it possible 400? What's Pashup Shat? Again, Tzarech Iyun. David HaMelech had 400 Yeladim. See, he says that he thinks the pshat is like this, and this is absolute goyness. He says, there's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, and this is in Paragimel. The pasuk over there discusses the children of David HaMelech. Ne'ela hayu b'nei David, ashen noilad loy b'chevroin. So David HaMelech had children, and first the pasuk lists the children that he had in Chevroin. Habachar Amnoin, who was his mother? Achinoyam ha'Yisraelis, Sheni Daniel. David HaMelech had a son, Daniel. La Avigail HaKarmelis. And it was from his wife, Avigail HaKarmelis. Hashlishi, La Avsholem ben Macho, Bas Talmei Melech Geshur. Harevi, Adonio ben Chagis. Hachamishi, Shvatio, La Avito, through his wife, Avito. Hashishi, the sixth one, was Yisram, Le'eglo Ishtoi. If you do the math, Shisha Noila Loi Bechevrin. It comes out that David HaMelech had six children in Chevrin. I'm skipping. Ve'elo Noto Le'bi Yerushalayim. The following children were David HaMelech's that he had in Yerushalayim. Shima, V'shoivav, V'nasan, and Shloimai, Arba, Lebas Shua Basamil. They were all born to Bas Shua Basamil. Then the pasuk continues and says that David HaMelech had more children. The Yifchar, the Elishama, the Elifalet, the Noiga, the Nefek, the Yofia, the Elishama, the Elyada, the Elifalet, Tisha. He had another 9 children. Said Rabbi Reuven Margolis, if you read the pasuk, it's very interesting. The first set of psukim, the children that David HaMelech had when he was in Chevron. So the pasuk mentions the name of the children and it says who their mothers were. The second set, the ones that he had in Yerushalayim, Shima, Shoivav, Nasan, and Shleima, Arba, who was their mother? Bashua, also known as Batsheva, Basamil. These were the children that he had from Batsheva, Basamil. And then the pasuk mentions another 9 children But it doesn't say who their mother was. He said, Sarachim, why wouldn't it mention who their mother was? So said Rabbi Reuven Margolis, that Libi Oymerli, that you know why those nine children don't have their mother's name mentioned in Divrei Hayomim Malach Paragimel? Because they were the Bnei Yefas Toyer. And because they were the Bnei Yefas Toyer, they had no Yichus. And because they had no Yichus, that's where their name wasn't mentioned. So he says, if that's the case, you know how many Bnei Yefas Toyer David HaMelech really had? He had nine Bnei Yefas Toyer. It wasn't 400. He says it was really nine. And by the way, it stems much better, because if he had 400 children, why are they not mentioning these psukim over here? Teretz says, yeah, they are mentioned. But he had nine. So how did we go from nine to 400? He said, it's very simple. You know what it said in the Gemara? He thinks, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, tough, with a little schmitchik on top. It said tough. But you know what happened? Whoever wrote the Shas thought that, you know what he meant? He meant tough as in 400. He said, you know, it wasn't tough as in 400. It was tough as an abbreviated form of Tisha. Nine. Divrei Hayomim. These are the nine children. Pasuk says, Tisha. That tough was short for that word Tisha that's mentioned over here in Divrei Hayomim. Paragimel, Pasuk Vav. That's what that tough was. So he said, why would the Matfis had written tough? Didn't he know? Wasn't he concerned that somebody would make a toys and think 400? He says, no, he wasn't. He said he was like, oh, I'll that anybody would think 400, because the measure's clear 400. How could it have been 400? So he says, it's pasha to him that the real cheshbon was nine, and it said tisha, and the tough was short. And this is another example, he says, where a letter used as a number, as an abbreviated form of a word, got very confusing. And he says, you see what happened from it. But then he says, I'm going to give you another example. He says, I'm going to give you another example. He says, there's a Messiah that Rav, the Amora Rav, lived 400 years. There's a Messiah that Rav lived 400 years. It comes from the Sefer Seder Tanam Amiram, which is a classic Sefer. And he writes over there that Rav lived 400 years. And he says the truth is that he saw that the Admalachi and the Chidah, they all ask kashas. If Rav lived 400 years, Rav Tanu, Polik, I mean, this would put Rav in different generations. And it's very, very awesome. How is it possible to say that Rav lived 400 years? So he says, I'm going to tell you the pshat. He said he found in the Sefer Doris HaRishonim for Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac HaLevi. And he said that in the Doris HaRishonim, he made a cheshbon that Rav lived 90 years. That's his cheshbon. He did math. He lived 90 years. So he says he thinks that the Rav Chai Tov Shonim of the Seder Tanam and the Amoiram that people think means 400 years, and the Doris HaRishonim's cheshbon, he was an authority on this. He was a chaver of Reb Chaim Briske. And the Doris HaRishonim's cheshbon of Tishim Shonim was the same cheshbon, because the Tov was just short for Tishim. It wasn't short for Tisha, because why would you think nine? Rav didn't live 9 years. Rav Tanu Upolik, though, you know what it means? It's not 400 years. How do you live 400 years? He lived Tishim Shana. He says a classic example. He says, I'm going to answer another kasha. We just learned the Gemara in Erev and Daphne and Dalad Amid Beis, where the Gemara says, Rav prayed, he taught his Talmud 400 times, and then there was a Paschal that said, you're going to get another 400 years. The Gemara that we went through twice. Said Rav Reuven Margolis, he said, the emesis, Rav prayed, was a Talmud of Rebbe. He knew Rebbe Yudan Nasi. If he lived 400 years, that means he lived into the times of the Goyim. So he said, Zapella, how come Rav Hai Goyim never said that? You know, we had a Shaila. There was a Pseyid, Rav Predot Egehesen, and Zitz Mizrach, and Avon Dorten, and we visited and we asked him all the Shailas. He knew Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. It's the most basic, obvious question that nobody wants to ask. But how's it possible he lived 400 years? Azoy freaked Rav Reuven Margolis. Said Rav Reuven Margolis. He said, I think it's the same toys. He said, I don't think he lived another 400 years. I think he lived tough, as in short, not for Tisha, like the Bnei Yefas Toyer of David, but Tishim, like Rav lived 90 years. That was Rav Yitzchak Isaac HaLevi's Cheshbin when he did the math. It was Tishim Shonim. He lived another 90 years. But this is the punchline. Is a punchline. Here's the punchline. He said, if that's the case, this is an Inyana Diyama, they got a punchline soon. So he says, everything's Inyana Diyama soon. No, but this is very soon. The Bagolo was Mankara of Inyana Diyama. See, he says, I'll tell you the punchline. Because if Preda didn't really live another 400 years, all he lived was tough, as in Tishim years, Yesh Loimer, that when he sat with his Talmud every day and used to teach him, he wasn't teaching him 400 times either. You know what he was teaching him? He was teaching him 90 times. That's what he was teaching him. It's the same tough. It's the same tishim. He says, oy bazoy, we could solve another riddle. You know, everyone knows the halacha that once you start saying Mashavu Ruach Umayud Hageshem, or you start saying Mayud Atal, so what's Talach? You have a Sofik. You daven Shmoneh Esrei, you don't remember if you said Mashavu Ruach Umayud Hageshem, Mayud Atal, you didn't say anything, right? So you don't know if you said Mashavu Ruach Umayud Hageshem. So it's a Yerushalmi, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Talach is 30 days. So then we assume that you did what you used to be doing. Once 30 days pass, then you're good to go. Stating that, it's a machlekes rishonim, the Maram Rutenberg and Rabbeinu Peretz. This comes up when you learn Bava Kamma, it comes up when you learn Cheskes Abadim, it touches on a lot of alumnus and super alumnus. That said, the Maram Rutenberg, that if the halacha is that once 30 days pass, we assume for sure you said the right thing, you said Mashbruch Mayr Dageshnim, or you said Mayr Datal, he says, Oy Bazoy, if that's the case, he says, I want to say a chiddush. That if a person doesn't want to get involved in these sfeikas, and he doesn't want to have this lachatz, he did say Mashav Ruach, he didn't say Mashav Ruach, so this is what you should do. What you should do is say Mashav Ruach Mayr Dageshnim 90 times. And he said, if you're going to say Mashav Ruach 90 times, really, his lashon is, say it as many times as you would say it during a 30-day period. And he says, if you're going to do that, it's going to be nechshav. And he said, what's the methodology? Because you find by Yashar Amud, Richek Nigi Chosav Chayiv, Kiriv Lekoshke. So the Maram Rutenberg said the same thing over here. If over 30 days you can establish a chazaka that you said the right thing, so if you do it in one day, Lekoshke, so he said 90 times is going to be good. Said Reuven Margolis, who ever heard of 90? Where is that a number? 90 times? What's 90 times? He says, you know what? The Makar is Rav Preida. That was the Makar. Because Rav Preida used to teach him 90 times. And from 90 times, I raised Kakum and Zikarin. That's when he chapped it. He didn't chap it until 90 times. He said, this is a Makar Nemon to the Chiddush of the Marat in Rutenberg that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. In Ilchas Tvil and Simen Kuf Yodalad. Either way, it's a Chiddush Neira. Dvarim the fly in Adlam Ayin. And again, a Chiddush Neira. Reuven Margolis says it wasn't 400. It was tough. Tough, in short, wasn't fetisha, it was fetishim. He lived another 90 times. He used to teach his Talmud 90 times. And what we get is a Bederech Agav, an incredible punchline. And that is that this is a makar to the Shita of the Maram and Rutenberg. Talk about the rest of the story. This is a makar to the Maram and Rutenberg, who the Maram and Rutenberg said that if a person says Masha Baruach or Meri Datal, whatever it is, 90 times in one day, in one sitting, that loch is, if he has a suffix later, he's not going to have to be worried anymore. But just to end with one ha'ara, and that is the Chassam Sofer in a tshuva. And this tshuva's Chassam Sofer is in Erech Chaim, it's tshuva chaf. So the Chassam Sofer discusses this sheet of the Maram Rutenberg, that if a person, 30 days pass, and you have a suffix, whether or not you said Mashav Ruach or Mayur Datal, so Allah is, then you don't go back. You assume that you probably got it right. Within 30 days, said Maram Rutenberg, based on that, just say the amount of times you have to say within 30 days, and you're going to be good to go. And based on that, the Mechaber paskins this halacha, in B'yoyim Rishon Shal Pesach, Oymer Birchasat to Gibar Ad Mayur Datal, Tishim Pamim, Keneged Shloishim Yoyim, Yishon Ve'elach, and Einu Zoych, and Hisker Geshem, Hareo Becheskes Shalai Hisker Geshem, Ve'einu Tzorech Lachzer. The halacha is, you're not going to have to go back. Says the Chassam Sofer, he asks Rabbi Ruvim Margolis is Kasha. It says 90 times. What's 90? I never heard of 90. What kind of number is 90 times? Where do you find it? So said the Chassam Sofer, I'm going to tell you what I think was really going on. He says, the makar to this halacha is a Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi was discussing Mayur Datal. And Yesh Loimar, the Yerushalmi was discussing Mayur Datal for the Bnei Chutz La'aretz. Says the Chassam Sofer, how many times do you say Mayur Datal over a 30-day period? Over a 30-day period, or the first 30 days from when you start saying Mayur Datal? Said the Chassam Sofer, it's not 90. So when do you start saying Mayur Datal? The first day Pesach. But which tefillah the first day Pesach? It's the first day Pesach Musaf. That's when you start. Which means, if you would assume that this three Shemoneh Esreis a day, 3 times 30 is 90, minus Shachris and Maira from the night before, what you really have is 88. Stating that, you have 8 days Yontif. So the 8 days Yontif are another 8 Musafim. So it's 88 plus 8, which is 96. In addition to that, this three Shabbosim that you can have during those 30 days, because one of the Shabbosim are going to overlap with Pesach, so it's going to be 3 additional Shabbosim. The 3 Shabbosim is going to be 99. You also have 2 days Rosh Chodesh. And Rosh Chodesh, is 2 days. And the 2 days Rosh Chodesh Iyar is always going to be another 2 Musafin. You know how many times you say Mashav Ruach Umayr Dageshem during those 30 days? 101 times. Says the Chassam Sofer, that's the pshat. He says, you want to know what the Cheshbon is? It's not 90. It's not 90. It was 101. And that has a Makar Nemon. That's a Gemara Masechtas Chagiga. In a Doyna Misha Shoyna Pirkei Meya Pamim. Le Misha Shoyna Pirkei Meya Pamim. The Echad. Baal Shem Tov used to say, "Einu Dami Misha Shaina Pirka Meya Pam." A person learns 100 times to a person that learns Meya Pam Abav Echad Efashtei. That when he learns, he's being mistabik to Echad, to Hashem Echad, to the Eibishter. But either way, so said the Chassam Sofer. That's the Cheshbon. The Cheshbon was 101. By the way, this Chassam Sofer made it into the Mishnah Berurah on this halach in Ilchas Tefillah and Siman Kuf Yudalit. So the Mechaber says, if you want 90 times and Mikan Velech, you don't have to worry. Says the Mishnah Berurah, but Shuv is Chassam Sofer Chelak Arichaim Siman Chav Meiro. Says, I don't have the plates to go connect the Shulchan Aruch, but if you ask me the Katchila, he says, I used to tell people used to ask me what I think, and I used to tell them 101 times. This is the rest of the story. This is how he came up with 101 times. But either way, this is all because the Chassam Sofer said, I don't have a Makar to 90. Where's 90? 101, up a Makar, the Ga'inus of the Chassam Sofer, where he found 101, but it's all kabaita no makar. Reuven Margolis had a makar. His makar was that it wasn't 400, it was really tough. And the truth is, the Chassam Sofer is l'shitasai. I mean, this is just the Ravcha de Milsa, but the Halakha Chassam Sofer said that the word Mishnah is Mem Shene. And he said, because you find many times in Gemara that Amiram used to hear a Mishnah and they used to chazer it 400 times, 40 times. Gemara says 40 times they do it again and again and again. Right? Ad manach bekisei, until a mamish felt it as if it was in their kiss. Right? It was mamish commander manach bekisei dami. And he says, Talmud is tough limud. So Mishnah, you're supposed to chazer mem times, as you find throughout Shas. And then there's an idea of Talmud is supposed to be tough. It's supposed to be 400 times. What's the makar to 400? He says, Repreida. But either way, the Chassam Sofer had the gears of tough, which was 400. And as a result, he had no makar to 90. So said the Chassam Sofer, what's this Maram in Rutenberg, 90 times? What 90 have to do with anything? There, it's not 90, it's 101. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah brings. The Likatchila, Ayin Shuvas Chassam Sofer, Rechaim Simchav, he's supposed to do it 101 times. But Reuven Margolis said that maybe it wasn't 400. Maybe the tough was supposed to have a little shtrechel on top. And really, it's supposed to be short for Tishim. If it's short for Tishim, in addition to answering and explaining this enigma that was Repreda, but at the same time, we have an added benefit. We now have a Makar Neman to the Maram in Rutenberg, that there's a skula in chazering something 90 times, that even someone where it's very hard for him to chapit. But after Tishim Pamim, after Timim Pamim, even this Talmud or Apreda was able to understand the learning.